And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We got a lot to get into today. The Preds take down the Sabres last night. We'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes. Adam Vingan joining the show at 7:30. Paul Kuharsky from paulkuharsky.com at 8 o'clock to talk all things Tennessee Titans. And, of course, we are one day away from the Sweet 16 beginning with the Tennessee Volunteers. So we'll get into that throughout the show as well. Joe Rexroad on the road in preparation for the Sweet 16 coming up in New York this week. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Really great. Thanks.
Oh, man.
How are you?
2 days in a row, you sounded just wonderful. Just wonderful.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Sounds like it's very exciting. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Joe, you should be happy. It's 7 a.m. there. You got a little later right. Start, even
yeah,
though
exactly.
I'm sure you didn't sleep like that. You've been all over the place.
Refreshing. Very refreshing. Very, very rested.
Well, you haven't been anywhere in the last week, so it's all good.
Yeah. It's going well. I'm sure this week will be just fine.
Sure. Can't wait for tomorrow's show.
Sure, it'll be great. We'll take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. The Nashville Predators in Buffalo last night, and they win 7-3 against the Sabres. So what a couple of stretch of games for them. They give up 7 against the Rangers and get shelled 7-0 on Sunday. And then they turn around last night, Joe. And they score 7 against the Buffalo Sabres and win 7-3. Shout out to the Buffalo Sabres, who have given up 7 goals in consecutive games, which is a really difficult thing to do, but Buffalo has managed to do that somehow, even with against the Nashville Predators, who lately have not really been all that offensively inclined, but scored 7 goals last night. And what a night it was from Luke Evangelista. Besides the obvious of adding yet another goal to my total in the Preds Pick to Click competition, Luke Evangelista, 4 points last night. He had 2 goals and 2 assists, the second rookie in Preds history to have a 4-point game. Dan Hamhuis was the other one back in 2004. He had 3 points in a span of 6 minutes and 1 second, fastest a rookie has ever done for the Preds. And also he tied Philip Forsberg's franchise record for points in a period. And that's not a rookie franchise record. That is a franchise record in general, tying Philip Forsberg for 4 points in a period, 2 goals, 2 assists. And Forsberg had that last year, actually, in March. So what a night last night for Luke Evangelista.
Yeah, nice. I mean, first of all, good pick by you, but no surprise there. And this is like the Buffalo Bills or Buffalo Bills. It's like the Buffalo Sabres of, you know, recent times that you might expect something like this from. But you just never know with this team, I guess, on a nightly basis.
No, it's pretty incredible. And, you know, Duchesne scored a couple last night. Tommy Novak scored last night, too. I mean, they went through a stretch there in the second period where, I mean, they were putting the puck in the back of the net left and right. And you get the win. Obviously, we talked about this yesterday. In terms of the playoffs, like, you're running out of time here. If you're the Predators, they've played 69 games. They've got 13 left. Winnipeg played last night, too. So you still have 3 games in hand on them, but they did win last night against the Arizona Coyotes. Now, there is an interesting opportunity coming up. If you can win both of them, as David Poile alluded to yesterday, you can win both of them against the Kraken at home, then maybe it gets a little interesting with the Kraken as well. But, you know, this is still going to be an uphill climb for the Predators to make the playoffs. Look, the story to me beyond the playoff part of this is just Evangelista. Like, the guy's been pretty incredible since coming up. And I know we've talked to David Poile and John Hines about this, and I'm looking forward to having John Hines on the show tomorrow. But they're going to say he's got to get bigger, he's got to get stronger, and I agree with all that. Like, there's still every now and then you'll watch him, and he's getting pushed around a little bit, getting knocked off the puck. So that's going to have to be something that happens. But, I mean, when you're talking about making rookie history for the Predators and tying a franchise record with Philip Forsberg – and you've been up for a few weeks, that's pretty good. And I've kind of thought for a while he's got a chance to be pretty darn good. And the more I watch him play, the more I think that maybe he can be one of those top guys when it's all said and done.
One of those top guys, how top?
I'm not saying Connor McDavid, but if Luke Evangelista turned into a point-per-game player, I don't think that would surprise me.
That's saying something. That would make him easily the best homegrown forward they've had.
Yes. So, I mean, look, I don't want to put too much pressure on the kid. And look, he's, what, 2.5, 3 weeks into his career? So, look, there's a long way to go here. I'm just saying this is not really something new with him. He's been productive everywhere he's been. He's been productive in the OHL. He came in and it was immediately productive in the American Hockey League. And so far he's come in and he's been immediately productive in the NHL as well. And look, you know, last night he made a couple of really good plays. Even the assist that he had to kind of kick things off there on, I believe, Novak's goal was just a quick play, good read by him. And then the shot on his first goal was basically right over the top of the glove, bar down, with a nice little leg kick he threw in there too. And then he got the puck, got behind the defense, and went forehand to backhand on the breakaway. I mean, the kid's got some skill, and it's been pretty impressive to watch him do what he's done. And obviously 4 points last night is the headliner, but you're talking about, you know, 9 points in 11 games on a team that really doesn't have that much offense around him right now. And I think he's played really, really well. And this has been pretty encouraging from my standpoint to watch what he already is and what that could end up meaning for him. Still, I agree that the size has to get better. I think he's listed at like 183 or something like that. He probably needs to start pushing, you know, 190, 195 at some point. But the kid's pretty good.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, look, what he did in the AHL this year was a little bit eye-opening. I mean, you would expect a little bit of an adjustment there, right? I mean,
yeah.
And it's just instant. So, now that also sometimes happens, and then guys get to this level, and, you know, there's a little bit of a leveling off, but some people just have it. So, it's the size to stay healthy. I mean, that's the whole thing, the grind of 82 games in this league. When people, you know, when they're so good at taking away your space and so physical, I mean, that remains to be seen. But I mean, how could you not be excited by him? And of course, if Kemmel turns out to be, you know, the same, I mean, or somewhat similar, I guess, at some point down the line, and he's still obviously earlier in his timeline. Well, the whole Predator, it's interesting. David Poile's retiring, and all of a sudden, look at some of the forwards that are coming in here.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. And you know, look, Duchesne, to his credit, I didn't think he'd been very good the last few games, and he responds well last night. He has 2 goals and 1 assist. And we thought, you know, the second goal ended up being an empty netter. He had one before that was approximately 30 feet offside that they went back and reviewed, and it was deemed offside appropriately at that time. But 3 points from Duchesne last night, Novak with 2 points last night, Philip Tomasino with a goal and assist last night too, which is good to see there. And then Ryan McDonough coming back in the lineup also had a goal and an assist. So it was good to get McDonough back in there. David Poile told us on the show yesterday, Joe, that it was looking like he was going to be ready at the morning skate and that he could play. He does play last night. He gets back in there, and he has a goal and an assist. And Ryan McDonough taking down 17 minutes in his return to action last night. So good to see McDonough back in there too.
Yeah, so, okay, so they're good again. Are they good again?
I don't know. Well, first off.
Give up 7, score 7.
Yeah, that's the weird thing.
Wait to see what's next.
Yeah, who knows what's coming tomorrow as they take on the Seattle Kraken. In all seriousness, like, you know, I'm not trying to take anything away from the Predators here. Buffalo's not been very good lately, and they're not a very good defensive team. So we'll see what happens. Like, the Predators probably not scoring 5, 6, 7 against Seattle coming up would be my guess. But, I mean, you're hanging around and hanging in there, and some of these younger kids are gaining confidence. If you can get some help on the injury front, like you got McDonough back last night, if you could get a Forsberg back at some point or Josi back relatively soon, or who knows what's going on with Juuso Parsonen. He's been out for 13 games at this point. Like, if you could get something back, that would be – very nice to see what happens there. Now, beyond just getting bodies back, I would be interested to see, like, let's say all that happens and that Forsberg ends up coming back and Josi ends up coming back and Parsonen comes back. What's your lineup look like? Like, what are you doing with your top six, and what are you doing with your lineup? Like, defensively, I don't think it's really that big of a deal or an adjustment with Josi coming back. I mean, it's a big deal to get him back, but it doesn't change really the dynamic of what your plan is back there. Like, with at forward, when you get Forsberg back and Parsonen back, who's playing where? I'd be really fascinated to see that.
Yeah, it's a good point. John Hines would love to have that problem, of course, you know. I mean, you can find a spot for some of these guys. But, yeah, it's amazing to think about a lineup where it's like, well, gosh, there's just too many good options for the top six.
You know? Yeah.
What a weird year this is.
Yes, very weird. Ty on the text line says, I was curious to see how they would respond after getting smashed. I'll take it. Kelton on the text line says, Tomasino is playing well too. He's going to be good. Tomasino did play well last night. It was funny, the goal that he scored last night, it was kind of like a cross-ice feed from Matt Duchene. And I say Tomasino probably got 30% of it. He got 30% of the shot off, and it ended up being like a nice change-up, fluttering shot into the back of the net. So sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, Joe Rexroad.
Indeed. And, hey, at least, I mean, I know he was kind of joking yesterday, but didn't Poile kind of say they should have called him up earlier?
I mean, yeah, kind of. Maybe he's just trying to placate you, but yeah, maybe so.
He probably was, but I mean, it's kind of true, right?
I mean, he's looked pretty good to me. Now, I still watch him every now and then away from the puck, and I'm like, I don't know. But to me, sure, like what he does with the puck kind of offsets that. Like I think he's pretty good.
Yeah, it's important to have that in a hockey team. So, no, it's, I mean, look, it's regardless of what happens here, it's still, I think, a long shot for them to really be there at the very end. There's at least next year, there are a lot of reasons to watch this team.
No question about it. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Preds coming up a little bit later in the show. Adam Vingan joining the program at 7:30, so looking forward to that. Coming up next, some interesting rumblings / reporting on the Lamar Jackson front. We'll get into that and what that could mean for his future, either with the Ravens or without the Ravens. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. How are you? Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, what up, Robbie, Joe, Michelle? Joe, I forgot about you, man. I had to call you, Joe, so I ain't forgot. But I know y'all were getting ready to talk about Lamar getting some things thrown at him and stuff. I've been hearing reports about Lamar. Maybe Bill Belichick would consider getting Lamar. I would hope that wouldn't happen. I don't think Lamar is a Belichick-type quarterback. I really would hope. He wouldn't go to New England or anything. Where I'd really like to see him go is Atlanta down there with Arthur Smith. I think Arthur Smith could turn Lamar out and get better results from Lamar by going down there to play for the Falcons and stuff. But, I mean, you never know what's really hurting him. He doesn't have an agent, and it doesn't really look like he's going to get an agent. But, Joe, I thought about you last night, thought about you real hard. I hope today when you go in there and go against Steelman on this debate, you're just going to have to keep your focus, Joe. You can't let Steelman get that upper hand. You're going to have to stay strong. You're going to have to attack. If you ever notice, Joe, when you win the debate, you're at attack mode. Steelman always tries to say you say something that you don't say. You can't get caught up in that. Please don't bring Taylor Lewan up, Joe. please don't bring Lewan up. That kills you, Joe. That kills you, man. Don't do that. But Joe,
what if I rip
him?
What if I rip Taylor Lewan? I mean, I could do that.
Opposite approach.
Yeah, you probably could rip him. But Joe, the times you have won, and you have dominated the debate with Steelman is when you just attacked. You stayed focused with it. You stayed strong. You didn't let him cut any corners with you, because he does try to upset you, Joe. And sometimes you get off your game when you let him do that. Today, don't get off your game, Joe. If you got to cut the lights out and meditate for a minute before you get on that phone and debate, do what you got to do, Joe. I'm counting on you, man. We don't have any bets going on this week, Joe. So, okay. You know, I don't know. I'm going to try to listen to the debate. I got a lot of stuff going on today and stuff. But, you know, Joe, good luck. I try to give you a little pep talk. You know, I love you, man. You know, I'm your number one Uno fan, Joe. But like I said, you got to shut them drapes up in that hotel room and meditate for a minute. Just do that, Joe. But I'm counting on you to win today.
Mark, we're all counting on him. I am fired up after this call, Mark. You've inspired me. You've inspired Rex Road. We appreciate you calling in this morning, my friend.
All right, y'all. Y'all have a good day, man.
Absolutely. You as Thanks, well. Buddy. Mark in Nashville, another legendary call here on this program. And now I think we're all fired up for Jared versus Joe coming up a little bit later today.
I mean, he makes good points.
He does.
You know? He does. He can't get off the game. Actually, I would tell Mark to – I was going to tell him, like, maybe today might not be a bad day to bet. I mean, I think Caroline should be feeling guilty about giving him the win last week because I said that Tennessee had a 40% chance against Duke.
There is that.
Yeah, you're getting two wins today, Rex.
Shouldn't that roll into this week? Shouldn't that kind of, you know, pay it forward to this week?
You think? We'll have to see what happens on that front. So Mark brings up Lamar Jackson and – some interesting reporting from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk yesterday in an article that he came out with says, per sources, multiple sources, a representative for Lamar Jackson has contacted more than one team in an effort to spark negotiations aimed at a possible offer sheet. The representative is not certified by the NFL Players Association. So as we know, Joe, he does not have an agent. But apparently that representative has been in contact with multiple teams and has talked about not wanting a fully guaranteed contract for Lamar Jackson. Now, who knows what that actually means? But Florio also puts in this piece that, according to his sources, the representative is telling other teams that Lamar Jackson is ready to move on from the Baltimore Ravens. So that was what Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk had to put out there yesterday. Now, at this point, we don't know that anyone has actually spoken with Lamar Jackson in terms of trying to negotiate a new contract outside of the Baltimore Ravens, but apparently a representative of some kind that is not certified by the NFLPA, according to Mike Florio, is contacting teams on Lamar Jackson's behalf and trying to get the ball rolling there. What do you make of all that?
So is this like a telemarketer? telemarketing scheme? Like, what are we talking about here? It's so weird. First of all, Florio sometimes, as we've talked about, I'll have some off the wall stuff. And like, wait, what? But first of all, also in the piece, it's like doesn't want a fully guaranteed contract, and apparently that just means like he just wants like a voidable year at the end of the deal or something. Yeah, you know, like okay, great. See, it's not fully guaranteed.
Right.
It's like 5 years, $200 million guaranteed, but no, let's make it 6 years. See, and then the $200 guaranteed, and then it's not fully guaranteed. I mean, if this is true, if you're Lamar Jackson, you're having just somebody call teams, just hire an agent.
I don't get it.
I don't know. But I mean, if it's true, then it's just more confirmation, the big picture, that, you know, that he's really looking to get out of there, and that it's going to be bad between him and the Ravens. I think that's kind of been somewhat clear already.
I do too. Now, remember, they put him on the non-exclusive franchise tag, which means that if somebody's going to go get him,
right,
you got to pay the money, and then you got to hand the Ravens two first-round picks. So that's part of this too. Now, I will say, and Jared talked about this yesterday, and the first thing you search when that comes up when it comes to Lamar Jackson next team odds, bookies.com has put it out there. The Baltimore Ravens are the favorite at +225. Not a surprise there. The team right behind the Ravens is the Tennessee Titans at +400, the second most odds for Lamar Jackson's next team, according to bookies.com. And then there's the Patriots, the Vikings, and then it drops all the way down to the Colts at plus 1,000 after that. But the Titans at plus 400, Patriots at plus 500, Vikings at plus 550, and the Colts at plus 1,000. So bookies.com apparently thinks that the Tennessee Titans are the second most likely destination for Lamar Jackson behind the Baltimore Ravens.
I mean, this kind of reminds me of when Vrabel had the best odds of being fired, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is it
yeah.
the same odds maker coming up with this?
Could be.
I mean, in all seriousness, I don't know. I can't imagine. I don't know. The double price of this, you know, is just it's just hard for me to believe that the Titans would actually want to get in on this. I mean, I'm not saying that the Titans shouldn't be interested in Lamar Jackson, but I wonder what that's rooted in. I mean, I like it's not logically like the obvious place. I mean, I guess it's just because most of the quarterback movement has kind of been taken care of in the league now, right?
I guess.
I mean, I guess.
Look, they have the Jets as the sixth best odds, the New York Jets, who apparently are about to trade for Aaron Rodgers.
That makes total sense, yeah. Yeah, so, sometimes Vegas odds are just really stupid.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think the Titans are going to go down that route either. Like, it's interesting because if it was just as simple as paying him, if you could break him down and he gets to this negotiating window, whatever it is, and he sees that he's just not going to get what he thinks he's going to get, then maybe the equation changes there at that time. But then you add on the, okay, well, you got to pay him that money, and then you got to hand Baltimore two first-round picks. Like to me, if you're going to do that, you have to be convinced that the quarterback is your guy for the next 10 to 12 years. And I'm not saying Lamar Jackson can't be that, but there are the injury concerns that he's had the last couple of years. There is the money that you have to pay, and there is the first-round draft picks, the two of those you got to pay. When you factor it all in totality, that's a heavy price to pay for what I think is a pretty heavy risk for a guy that's been hurt the last 2 years.
Yeah, he's a great player, but I mean, you do that. You do that if you are convinced that he can win you a Super Bowl, and with the limitations of those first round picks, which you badly need for this roster. And again, that contract. I mean, like your cap situation. Again, you can't just fix everything with a magic wand. Like, it's tough. I mean, yeah. it's you're going to pay. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt if you have that kind of money tied up in him. And yeah, I think like you said, then you throw in the injury part of it, and I don't think he's going to get the offer that he hopes to get from anybody.
Maybe this
buddy of his who's, you know, crank calling teams will make the difference.
A tie on the text line says it's him. He says, I'm the representative. Lamar wants 41 mil a season, guaranteed 4-year minimum, and also unlimited Penn Station subs card. That's the deal breaker. That's from Ty on the text line.
Nice.
Who knows? It could be Ty. We have no idea who this person is. It's apparently calling teams on Lamar Jackson's behalf.
I mean, I don't know that it's not true.
I don't know either. Cam says, the two first-round picks is the only reason it's not happening. We're not in position to be able to give up two first-round picks. This is from Cam on the text line. I don't know if it's the only reason it's not happening, but that certainly makes it something you got to really think about if you're one of these teams trying to get Lamar Jackson. No question about that. We'll continue the conversation on Lamar Jackson coming up next. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including a destination for him that I think could be pretty interesting. We'll get into that coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Preds fans, hang out tomorrow night before the Preds game at the Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar & Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway with 1025-1063 The Game. You can place your bets with Superbook and enjoy great food and drink specials, plus enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. That's coming up tomorrow as the Preds take on the Seattle Kraken. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on Lamar Jackson on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. So Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reporting that teams around the league have been contacted by a representative that is not certified by the NFLPA on behalf of Lamar Jackson, trying to get the ball rolling on negotiating a contract while he's still, I guess, apparently negotiating with the Baltimore Ravens. Apparently, according to Florio, that representative also telling teams that Lamar's ready to move on from the Baltimore Ravens. So we'll see what happens there. I will say, Mark brought up an interesting point in the last segment on his call. Like, I do think a Lamar Jackson signing to Atlanta would be very interesting. I know they're going with Ritter right now and that they have signed Heinicke as the backup. But, like, if the opportunity to presented itself to sign Lamar Jackson, if you weren't 100% sold on Ritter, and I don't know how you could be 100% sold on Ritter to this point, if that's something Atlanta would consider, I do think that would be an intriguing fit in that offense with Arthur Smith, with some of the weapons they've already got down there.
Oh, it'd be super intriguing, but that's the thing. I mean, you have to be – to do this, to take this leap, because it's obviously been – I mean, the way the Ravens have played this, it's just such a huge leap. You have to be 100% sure of him, and I think it's intriguing to a lot of teams. I think a lot of teams – have to look at him and say, man, I mean, this could be special, but I understand how it has looked, especially with all these teams who immediately basically like made it clear that they had no interest. You know, that was weird, but at the same time, like, it's just such a cost and such a risk. It is a risk because I'm to me more on the health side than on the, you know, the playoff performance side. I mean, I think that Lamar Jackson is absolutely good enough to, you know, to win a Super Bowl in the right, you know, I think he's the next tier of quarterback right under the very top shelf. But that tier with injury issues doesn't command that kind of ridiculous contract and also two first-round picks. Again, I mean, just go back. This whole thing is what the Browns did with Deshaun Watson. I mean, it's such a disruptor to the league.
Yeah, no question about it. Look, and Jared was talking about this yesterday, and I agree. Like, if this was Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, then I probably don't care about the price. Like, I'll pay the contract, and I'll pay the two first-round picks. Those guys have stayed healthy. And quite frankly, I just think those guys are better than Lamar Jackson is. I agree with you. Like, he's kind of in that next tier below those guys. But I do – like, he's going to have to play somewhere. Is it going to end up being in Baltimore? Are they going to be able to work through all this? Like, the more you read the tea leaves, the more it feels like he just wants out of Baltimore, given the way that these negotiations have gone to this point. Is anybody willing to step up to the table and pay the price? And George on Twitter brings up an interesting question. Says, can they trade for Lamar Jackson after the current draft? Those two first-rounders after this year could be really late first, maybe in the 25 to 30 range, that are not guaranteed good players. See Isaiah Wilson and Caleb Farley, et cetera. This is from George on Twitter saying, what if this goes past the draft between now and then, between the Ravens and whoever else would step in to sign Lamar Jackson at that point?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure the exact timing of that, but I mean, two first round picks is two first round picks, and you don't know what they're going to be. I mean, I understand the thought, but man, it's, if specifically with the Titans, and I mean, I think a lot of teams are in this to some extent, but specifically with the Titans, they've been, they've been hurt by some of these deals. I mean, I think Mike Kernan yesterday put it well. It's like, look, I mean, I love the Julio Jones thing at the time, but some of the things they've done have put him in a bad spot to the point where, you know, your roster can't afford to not have those first round picks to me. And you'd have to get incredibly lucky for that to take place, or for you to be able to be competitive enough without those picks.
Liam on the text line says, sure, it's expensive, but just imagine Lamar here finally unlocking Jeff Swaim's true talents. This from Liam on the text line. It's a beautiful thing to imagine.
Well, I mean, you think about Lamar and Jeff Swaim and some kind of read option thing.
Oh, man.
I mean, come on, man. I mean,
That shovel pass over the middle to Jeff Swaim. Jeff Swaim, the whole defense trying to suck down and contain Lamar there. Man, Swaim could run for days after that.
Well, I mean, the double teams that Swaim will command on his own.
Well, there's that too.
I mean, I hope defenses have 14 guys out there.
Cam on the text line says, I really think the Ravens will match almost any offer. I don't know. Like, I don't know that I agree with that. Like, I think they've probably got a number in mind that they're willing to go up to. I think that, obviously, I mean, I think they like Lamar Jackson. I think they want Lamar Jackson to be their quarterback, but there's obviously a limit to what they're willing to pay. Otherwise, this would have been done already. So, like, I think they've got a number in mind that they're probably comfortable going to. And if it's not that, then I think they'll take the two first-round picks and move on at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think that, you know, I just think that the offer is not going to be what he wants it to be, you know, for one thing. And, yeah, if you're the Ravens, I think through all this, you probably have to start thinking about moving on and the next, you know, what's next after this, right? You know, you have to start thinking about that possibility, but you're still, you know, like, you're built, you know, to have him be your quarterback. And that's the thing. It's like, when he quarterbacked them, when he was on the field, it's still been really good. I mean, you know, last year and even without him, I mean, they're right there, you know, to win that playoff game. So, I mean,
got a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Well, that is true. That is very true. It's good to have just a bunch of them on your roster. Yeah. So, but yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think it's like limitless, you know, but again, I don't think that it's going to get, I just don't think he's going to come close to getting what he wants here. And I get it. It's just, that contract should not have happened, you know?
Right.
So he I'm not saying he's wrong in looking at that and saying that's ridiculous, you know, but again, that's ridiculous is just put that on an island. It just shouldn't have happened.
Well, the other part of this, like from the Ravens standpoint, you're already, I mean, they got rid of Greg Roman anyway, right? So you're changing your offense. They brought Todd Monken in from Georgia. So Todd Monken is now the offensive coordinator in Baltimore. So first off, like that to me is interesting anyway. Like if Lamar's your quarterback, like how much different is the offense going to look? Like at some point, are you going to get him some receivers that can actually catch the football? That would be another thing that I'd be interested in if I'm Lamar Jackson in this conversation as well. But like there's already a lot on its own that's pretty intriguing from the Baltimore standpoint. There's a lot of change happening. You still have Harbaugh there, but Monken's coming in. You know, you're trying to figure out which offense best suits your roster right now, best suits your quarterback. And like Todd Monken's got to be sitting here right now like, so is Lamar Jackson going to be my quarterback or is he not going to be my quarterback? Because that's going to heavily influence the way we run our offense here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like such you're so held up right now in such limbo. But I mean, I think you have to, you know, I mean, I think you have to proceed with the idea that he is, and then it's not going to be apples for apples, but you know, you have to proceed as if he is, because I think ultimately, you know, I think it's going to be on him to decide that. I think he's going to have to be back there. And then, you know, then we'll see if he, like, if it gets really bad, does he actually consider not playing and all that stuff too? Because I just don't see it. I don't see. I mean, at this point, you got somebody apparently cold calling teams. You know? I mean, I think that kind of tells you where things are.
Hi, this is Joe Smith on behalf of Lamar Jackson. Do you have some time to discuss a new contract with me today?
Hi, my name's Heidi from Dixon.
Calling Jim Irsay. Jim, do you have some time to discuss what a new contract for Lamar Jackson may look like today? You don't? Thank you. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure Jim Irsay's cell phone is out there on the interweb somewhere.
You know what? It could be. Jim Irsay did tweet out an interesting video of him like sitting in the dark watching a South Park episode with him in it the other day. So that was interesting to watch on Twitter.
Okay.
So strange.
He's an interesting fella.
So guy. Strange.
615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there's a guy that's still out there and available that the more I think about it, the more I think could be affordable and matches up with something Mike Vrabel had to say earlier this offseason. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, a former Tennessee Titan who we talked about a lot this past season has now found a deal somewhere else as well. We'll get into all that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. This week's Nashville's Best Deal of the Week is Eastside Bowl in Madison. This week, get 2 hours of bowling plus shoe rentals for up to six people for just $45. That's 2 full hours of bowling plus shoes for up to six people for just $45 at Eastside Bowl in Madison. You can go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get yours now. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Joe, there is a guy still out there at wide receiver who I think is pretty intriguing that I think could be an interesting fit for the Titans, who we'll get to here in just a few minutes. But I do want to point this out. A player that we spent a lot of time discussing this past year, for obvious reasons, has now found a new deal out there with the Arizona Cardinals. Dennis Daly agreeing to a 2-year deal with the Arizona Cardinals. So Titans legend Dennis Daly now gone and taking his talents to Arizona. When that deal was announced yesterday, and I think Field Yates was the first one to put it out there. A lot of Titans Twitter was very responsive to that Field Yates tweet yesterday and wishing him all the best in Arizona and telling Cardinals fans how bad he is. It was interesting to watch that happen on Twitter yesterday.
I mean, Kaharsky tweets, you know, for people who don't know, Monty Austinford, of course, who was here, number 3 under John Robinson, is now their GM. And so Kaharsky tweets, bad look for Monty Austinford. I'm like, You act like you like committed a crime or something, dude. Like, I mean, you know, let's calm down. Bad look. You know, like he like cut in front of a kid at an amusement park or something. You know?
He said really bad look. Not just a bad look.
Really bad look. Yeah. It's like, okay. I mean, it's a questionable signing. Is he signing to be like the right tackle, maybe?
I don't know. Hopefully, like, guarding the end of the bench over there. I don't know. Like, hopefully he's not playing a whole lot for you. It would be my hope if I'm Monty Austinford.
I don't off the top of my head know the offensive line depth chart for the Cardinals.
I don't either.
He can't be bringing him in to be their starting left tackle, right?
I mean, there's
zero chance of that, right?
I don't think so. I mean, look, it was reported as a 2-year deal, and there is no money attached to it whatsoever. So, I mean, we know this.
That's a good indication. But it turned out to be, hey, lots of memes and GIFs and people losing their minds on Twitter about that. So, I mean, Dennis Daly was bad. He was bad. Okay. We can all agree he was bad. And there are times you could put together probably about 10 to 12 plays from last year where it's like, how is this guy starting in the NFL? I mean, I think he's still like, you know, okay to be in the league still. I mean, you want to look around the league at like offensive line play and how bad it can be. At the starting level and certainly beyond that, right? So, I think just like bad. Jeff Swaim. Do I have to defend Dennis Daly like I defend
Please
Jeff
do.
Swaim?
Please do.
Come on, guys. He's not that bad. He's good. He was pretty good, right? No. Okay. All right. I'm just kidding. He wasn't pretty good. He was bad. But, like you said, no money reported. So, basically, Monty Austinford thought, okay, this guy's fine as my swing tackle, I guess. And that's questionable. I'm not saying it's not questionable. I'm not sure it's a really bad look for Monty Austinford.
What are you doing, Monty Austinford? Terrible look for you.
Get warmed up for Kaharsky.
That was good. We'll have Paul coming up at 8 o'clock here on the show today. Maddie on the text line says, Turnstile Daly will be getting his quarterback killed the way that his quarterback kills others on Call of Duty. This is from Maddie on the text line. Anytime we can get a Kyler Murray Call of Duty joke in there, I'm cool with it, man. Just keep them coming.
Jeez.
Just keep them coming. So anyway, back to the wide receiver discussion. There is a guy that's still out there, and I don't think it's going to be all that expensive. By the way, I think we've gotten a pretty good idea of what the wide receivers in this first wave of free agency are viewed. Like, there are a lot of guys still out there and available. Like, Aguilar is still out there, Chark, Cobb, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, N'Keal Harry. There's a lot of guys out there that are still available. So we'll see what happens on that front. But the Mecole Hardman part of this is interesting. I understand that he had some injuries last year, and that's a concern as you're moving forward. But you're talking about a 25-year-old who just turned 25, by the way. He ran a 4.3 40, and we've seen him in Kansas City. Like, he's not Tyreek Hill and that type of speed or anything like that, but he's pretty darn fast, and he's made some big plays for Kansas City over the years. Now, I get it. the first response is, well, yeah, it's Kansas City, it's Andy Reid, it's Eric Bieniemy, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, for most of his career there, they did have Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. I get all that. So I'm not saying that it's not a risk to bring in a guy like Mecole Hardman, but there was one comment that Vrabel had this past offseason that he repeated multiple times, and we've talked about it here on the show. They got to get faster. Very rarely did he feel like they were the fastest team on the field out there. And I look at the moves that they've made to this point, and look, you're talking about an offensive lineman in Dillard. Like, there's not much speed that goes on there. I mean, I guess I have no idea how they view Arden Key and his speed and his pursuit to get to the football. You know, Sean Murphy Bunting has come in. Obviously, at the linebacker, you've swapped out Azeez Al-Shaair for David Long Jr. Like, you've made some moves already, but, like, the speed part of this, like, I'm looking at their offense right now. I mean, they've not done anything to address the speed part of this. So is Mecole Hardman, to me, is intriguing from that standpoint of, we know that he's got speed, and that would be speed that the Titans, quite frankly, just don't have at their wide receiving core right now. He's still out there. He's still available. I don't think he's going to cost all that much money. I just, going back to those comments from Vrabel, it makes me wonder how they're going to address that as they move forward.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I think he's legitimately fast. He's you would think with that speed and in that offense, he would have produced more. And he just sort of was always a guy who, you know, sort of just kind of a fringe role, you know, which sure. Which concerns me in terms of, like, could you really count on him to be a regular? But again, yeah, it's also, you could flip that around and say, well, I mean, how many footballs do you have on that team, right? You know, there were a lot of guys, especially when they did have Tyreek Hill. You know, you had your main players, but I thought, I mean, you can go back and watch the Mecole Hardman plays with the Chiefs, and it's, I mean, he's got the speed. And I think when Vrabel said that, I took that as receiver for sure. And I guess maybe corner too, you know, and the skill positions. Not that they're slow at corner, you know, but they did at times last year. I mean, they had some troubles with faster receivers last year. But certainly, I mean, I think number one, that comment was directed toward a receiver. I mean, they got a fast guy who's a mismatch guy in Chig last year at tight end. So, I mean, you look at the landscape, if it's not a trade, I would say that he's the most appealing. I think we've talked about him before. You know, at least a guy who's been in the league, he is still young and can just take the top off, at least, you know, can take something short and outrun people. They lack that quite severely.
Yeah, like, I'm not saying he's coming in and being wide receiver one, because he's not, but I'm just saying, like, the speed part of it is interesting. And as multiple people are brought up on the text line, and this is something they're going to have to figure out, like, he's returned punts too. Like, he's been a guy that has returned punts throughout his career, and a couple of years has been really good at returning punts. So, you know, I don't know what their plan is there. It was obviously Kyle Phillips to begin the year last year, and then he muffed the punt in the first game. He got hurt after that, and then it was basically no go from Kyle Phillips the rest of the year. So, like, are they just going to run it back and say, all right, Kyle Phillips is our punt returner, we'll give you another shot next year? Or is there somebody else that they're going to have to give that job to? Like, I'm not saying you go sign Mecole Hardman because you're like, oh, yeah, good, he can return punts for us. He's got to be able to play at wide receiver too. But at some point, you're going to figure out what you're doing in the punt return game too.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you get that taken care of and you actually have a little bit of a threat there, you have reliability first, and then you have a little bit of a threat there. I mean, I think it makes sense. I mean, it's in this crop, you know, he's at least, there's at least some upside. I mean, you look through the rest of the crew of the free agency receiver, and again, that's why we're sitting here with so many of them not signed. It's slim pickings.
It's slim pickings, and the longer they go unsigned, I think the less money they're going to end up signing for. I mean, it's just the way things work in free agency. So, like, you know, Hardman at this point, like, he's not going to make a lot of money. Now, I think we knew that coming off the season he had. I mean, what he had like 297 yards or something last year, and he was hurt. So, I mean, you're not going to make a whole lot of money coming off that type of a season. And then you go down the list of other guys, like, you know, you've got your Marvin Jones Jr.'s still out there, your Galladay's still out there, Julio Jones. Like, it's slim pickings. Not going to be a whole lot of money left that are spread around for wide receivers in this free agency class. Now, we did have somebody on the text line bringing this up, a decent crop of speed at wide receiver in the draft this year, too. And look, the Titans, I feel pretty comfortable saying, the Titans are going to draft a wide receiver at some point. I don't know if it's going to be first round or not. They're going to draft a wide receiver at some point in this draft. You know, maybe that's part of the answer of adding more speed to the room there. But as Mike Herndon said yesterday, I know that they re-signed NWI, and that's great. But, like, I still find it hard to believe that NWI is going to be, like, your one veteran receiver heading into this year. That's a tough spot to be in.
I would agree. I can't imagine that they're just going to be like, okay, it's this and it's the draft. Well, they may love Racy McMath, but still, you know, I think there's an ad somewhere in there to come. It's not like Hardman is some, you know, oh, now you're just loaded with veterans, but at least someone who's done something in the league. You know, on the other side of this is a guy like Hardman or just any of these receivers. If you're talking comparable money, and like you said, the money goes down, but if you're looking at the Titans, you're looking at the Titans offense. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's probably other places that are more appealing for a receiver right now.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I do wonder. Like Kansas City, right? They just lost Juju Smith-Schuster. He's going to the Patriots. Like, do they circle back around to Hardman? Like, he's not re-signed with him yet. Like, I do wonder. You lost the wide receiver, and if they don't want him, I don't know what that would tell me about Hardman if I'm other teams around the league.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, given their situation, it's just surprising that, given his speed, that they wouldn't see how they could utilize that and maybe even possibly give him a bigger role, unless they're worried about the health or they just don't feel like he, you know, can function on a regular, you know, with a regular snaps in an offense.
Coming up next, there was something that Joe said yesterday about the Vols that I thought was pretty intriguing, and we'll get a little bit deeper into that coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.